Yo.
What's good?
It is Abstract Square Podcast. Greetings. Back in the building.
We here. Back and better than ever.
Oh man, it's been a quick second before we've been on this microphone, but I'm excited to be here, man. What about y'all?
I'm here, baby. I'm alive. Same.
Never.
Nah, man, a lot's been going on. I think we had a lot to talk about. I know we took a couple of weeks off, so I'm excited to chat with y'all, man.
Yeah, it feels more consistent though. You know, like,
yeah, it does.
Not
it
as
does.
Many yeah. gaps as you know, yeah. you know, 2019. I feel
I'll
like
take every, you know, couple of weeks with some quality versus, you know,
right,
3 month
trash.
Gap, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing I'm always concerned about is like how solid of the content we can put out and make sure we keep the listeners
engaged. Just
gotta
be real with ourselves,
man.
I'm not gonna put out no fake stuff.
it's gotta be authentic and organic. Mm-hmm. You know
oh
what I'm
my
saying?
God, snores. I hate them words right now.
Why?
Because it's so overused that nothing's organic or authentic. It's like manufactured authenticity. Like, it's just weird. It's so important. That, like, I don't know. It's just me.
I mean,
you know, some buzzwords just become buzzwords at some point.
Yeah,
you know
I mean? I think that's just what it is right now. Those words are buzzwords right now.
Anything that in 2020 started to annoy you that like you didn't realize that it was getting on your nerves in 2019, but all of a sudden the year changed and you were like, I don't want to deal with that shit, or this shit is annoying or gets on my fucking nerves. For me, I think cancel culture started to get under my skin.
Yeah,
yeah.
As soon as 2020 hit, I was like, why are we canceling, motherfucker? Like, does that really make sense? Like, that whole culture of 2019 where somebody did something wrong and now we're not supporting it? Like,
right.
Now, don't
like,
get me wrong.
Are we
R. Kelly, right? There's reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's levels to it.
There's levels to it, right? And then that point, cool. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But other smaller things.
Like, Gail, mean, are we canceling Gail King?
I mean,
she came from my man Kobe.
But like her and Oprah been on the other side, and like nobody ever wanted to talk about it.
Right. Yeah. Like, they've always been on the who hurt
you side.
She's
been booed up with Trump. Like, that's been her motherfucking homie. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, she's doing world tours. She's bringing Michelle Obama. But like, I don't know.
Who hurt you is.
Yeah.
It's like, yo.
I haven't even given myself a second to hear what happened. Like, I'm like, nah, I don't even want to know. Like, just leave it alone.
Yeah, it's not even.
It's gonna be. It's not even worth.
It's not. Nah, we not
feeding into the headlines. Like,
we not gonna put no time on that. Not her. Not today.
Yeah.
Nah, but January was wild.
January
was wild.
Definitely wild. What happened with y'all? What's going on? How was your January, Chad?
Oh man, my January was emotional.
I know. It's It felt like a long January, too.
It was a long January. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, obviously, the passing of Kobe took a place in my heart, even as someone that wasn't the biggest Kobe fan. I mean, I'm a New York Knicks fan. I'm a New York Knicks fan. Don't do that. You don't come to the Garden, score 61, and I'm supposed to be cool with it.
How you disrespect God?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but like, if you weren't the biggest Kobe fan towards the end of his career, like, you became a fan because it no longer became a part of this like competitiveness. It was more of like an appreciation and a respect for everything that he's done for the game of basketball.
It was a slow burn. Like,
yeah,
it was one of those things where you saw the greatness early on, but it kept getting better and it kept
manifesting
and it kept changing.
Right.
You know, I have a question
saying?
About that. Like, I was during that time, talking about January, I think I told you I had like one of my cousins was murdered during that time. So I had like a different perspective on the whole Kobe Bryant thing. So obviously Kobe Bryant is my favorite player of all time, like period. But I just wasn't in a mental space to like receive all of the love that he was gaining because I was kind of going through my own thing. So I started to wonder like how much of the love is like media. Like, you can't turn your head without seeing Kobe Bryant. So, like, I wonder how much of it is authentic and how much of it is just like, damn, even though I didn't really think about him this much, he's so much in my face that, like, I'm thinking about this every single day.
It's a hot take and a very, like, real take.
Yeah,
because it's also traumatic. Like, fam, like you're pounding this in people's faces, you know, like right. every day, yeah. all day. And like for someone at that magnitude, you're talking about last time you remember somebody like this, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
yeah. it's on this type of level.
Right.
But that's I never, and being the biggest Kobe fan, I never understood that he was on that level of stardom, like to the point where I even questioned if he really was. Yeah. Because my lens was like, man, I feel bad for his family that has to see this nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on 34th Street and I see a big Kobe Bryant. It's still there right now. I can imagine the rest of the country. I can imagine Los yeah. Angeles. Like,
yeah.
how's his family even have a chance to grieve? They yeah. they got a probably got the same TMZ alert that I got.
Right.
Like,
right. You know what it is about this one being so much more impactful is we grew up with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like
maybe this is more my generation than your Michael yeah. was, honestly.
We were playing ball when he was playing ball.
Honestly. Yeah.
I was at least like
yeah.
We liked Randy when he was out at the joint with Randy. Like yeah.
yeah.
For real. Seriously.
Yeah. yeah, so like we grew up with him. You know what I'm saying? Like during his prime, social media started to emerge.
Right.
And so like we started to see Kobe like
yeah,
like more. Literally grow up in the league and become the legend that he is, you know.
We
what
watched
saying?
The air balls and everything.
Yeah, like we literally watched the growth for real. Of Kobe. And when you talk about watching someone's work ethic, you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. we saw it for Jordan, yeah. and we knew he was great because we saw it on the court, and that was it.
Yeah.
But other than that, we
that's an interesting point because some of it for Jordan is more about like his level of competition, mm-hmm. like how much he's ready to step up for competition. But for Kobe, it was more like. We saw him put in that work, like you're saying. Like, it was more about the work and the result rather than, like, yo, I'm just going to fight my way through it. That's right. very interesting.
Yeah.
I think, for me, also, like, the family part was something that we saw. We grew up, you know, and, mm-hmm. and saw the ball part. But I think being that he was our same age, we're starting families and, you know, trying to get to that place where...
Yeah.
And that's the thing that also was like another layer for our generation, you know?
Right.
Yeah, like he just started, like for yeah. real. Like that's
the crazy part where you've seen a lot of trash on the internet. There's a lot of hate back and forth. And yeah. that's the other part that like I liked it because to your point, Thomas, like there are people who are like, yo, fuck the media. Also, there's, you know, the charges and the other shit.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the nasty shit that happens. You know what I'm saying? And right. that's the internet yeah. part that I appreciated. I was just like, okay, well, shit, now I know everybody's opinion. You know?
Right.
Like,
that's yeah. real.
Yeah, I mean, I connected to him just as much after his career. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that he moved into doing podcasts, you know, he had the yeah. Punies. You yeah. know, like, Chelsea, my daughter, we listened to the Punies together. That was fire. Yeah. And just to see him transition and do the reels where he's doing the play-by-play breakdowns.
He won an Oscar.
I love that.
That is so fire.
I love that.
Oh, man.
Because for like a real basketball person that's like, you know, that really understands the X and O, you really get to look at the art of the game rather than just kind of like the Neanderthal sports thing going
yeah,
on. Like,
yeah, it truly let you into the importance of having a basketball IQ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? And like...
And like also, like for the regular fans, understand that you don't have a basketball IQ. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so like when Kobe said that James Harden will never win a championship playing this style of basketball, like when someone like that says it, he's not telling you just off... some wild whim.
And he said never too. Like, not like it's gonna be very hard. He said never.
Yeah, he yo. So like,
why do you say that? I didn't hear that because I have an opinion on that.
He said he'll never win that style of basketball because he's not moving the ball. He's holding it for too long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's not. He said something to the fact that he's not keeping his eyes open to where the spots his teammates need to be
right.
in order for them to. You know, move the ball around the court.
Got it. Okay. I thought it was going to be a little more profound than that. Yeah. From Kobe, like, yeah, it's pretty simple, bro. We're not moving a rock.
Yeah.
Like, I think one of the bigger takeaways also was this whole, like, the Mamba mentality, right? Like, the work hard and, you know, you get results.
Yeah.
And I think we learned that early. We saw what he did, you know, when he came to the league and started going crazy, especially during the Shaq. I think for me, I took notice during the Shaq time where they was really beefing about, you know,
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
And that's where I started to kind of like dig into this whole like 24/7 basketball, you know, like that's what I need to be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, my question to everybody here is like, does that work for everybody?
Right. Is that something? Does the Mamba mentality work for everyone? Is that the question you're asking?
Yeah, like, does that work for everybody?
Thomas, does it work for you?
No.
I think you just found that out.
Yeah, like, it doesn't work for me at all. Like, I come from that school. I come from, like, fight through everything. Nothing should hurt you. Yeah. If you deal with enough pain, then, you know, it won't be pain anymore. Kind of, like, thought process. Like, that's a lot of athletes, like, during our era came up that way.
Walk it off, fam.
Yeah, like, if you throw up on the track, throw up on the side, and get back on is, like, how we grew up. But I'm here to say I'm not subscribing to that shit whatsoever. Like, at this point, you know, and maybe that is a good way to, like, foundationally, like, give advice to, like, a child. You know, to kind of like toughen them up and make sure that they're, you know, ready for adversity. But as an adult, like, you should stay in your lane before you hurt yourself.
Bro, you remember the era of Team No Sleep? Get that stupid fuck out of here. The 6 hours that I get now isn't because, like, I'm trying to prove a point. Like,
you need that, fam.
Nah, like seriously, like, from a biology standpoint, like, you need that. Like, so basically, so I became, like, really dehydrated. As Takiya's friends would say, I got kind of thirsty.
Thomas was thirsty in these streets.
Like, over last weekend, and it's just, like, my whole body shut down. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that I was, like, doing this to myself. Like, I'm just kind of, like, going through the motions and just trying to cut ass. And, like, you really wake up in the morning, like, yeah, I want to do this. I'm about to, you know, mama mentality myself through this. And then you mama mentality yourself right to the hospital.
Right.
And that's just not cool. Right. I'm good money, man.
Yeah.
Yo, don't be tough about this shit, fam.
Him talking about it is, I think, his way.
Yo, like, just to be, like, one thing I did learn, I will share, is, like, that shit fucks with your mental. Like, you can do things that, if you're just not, like, well, if you're not well, like, you can just, like, make some really bad decisions and, you know, just become overwhelmed and not even know it. So, like, yo, just relax.
Yo, I'm glad. I mean, you get the signals. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't get the signals, though. And I think that's the key part.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, now you know what it is.
But in the process, though, and I think that's...
No, you don't. You
don't get the signals. You don't know when you're... Like, I always say, like, sometimes you're just too close to a problem. Like, you really don't know that you're overworking yourself when you've conditioned yourself to work at a certain level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
I guess now we get older, whatever. Bodies change. Minds change. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're probably putting on more, taking on more.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you balance that? Like, Chad, you took that leap, you know, recently to kind of, like, 24/7 entrepreneurship. Like, I know it hasn't been all gravy. Like, how have you balanced it out? Because now you, a couple of months in now? How long is it?
Yeah, eight going on nine.
A couple months ago, you were completely complaining about, like, not having time for anything else, and you don't seem to do that as much anymore.
Like, I feel like you found a groove, you know what I'm saying? But, like, how do you do
it? Yeah, honestly, I pick and choose what I'm sacrificing. You know, like, there's some days I don't eat breakfast and or lunch. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to Thomas's point, there are things that I need to get better at, which is nourishment for my body in order for me to continue. Mm-hmm. And drinking water, which I forget to do sometimes. Like, if you're on calls from 9 to 3 and you're talking for most of that time, then it's like, when do you drink water? And you should take a pause, maybe be late for that next meeting so you can drink water, have a moment to, like,
invest in it, man. I'm really thinking about going to get some of these apps to make sure I drink some water, like, to be real with you.
Yeah, like, you forget how important it was to drink water. So when I'm talking to Thomas the other day, and he's like, fam, I was dehydrated, I started to think about how my body has been reacting over the last couple of weeks. I'm like, oh shit, I'm not drinking enough water. Yo. It was like, listen to him. And I looked at myself and said, am I drinking enough water?
Yeah.
As simple as it sounds. Like,
as simple as it sounds. And I'm like, maybe not.
Yeah, man.
Nah, and that's maybe why, you know, like, my body may be waking up at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning is, you know, it's signaling.
That was happening to me. I'll give you something else that was crazy. I didn't realize until I was, like, pretty much done that I hadn't, like, remembered a dream in, like, 6 months. And because I took some time to like rest, I remembered a dream. And it's like, damn, so my body hasn't been in REM for like how many months now? So I'm really not getting true sleep.
Yeah.
You know, look, it's a different level.
Well, my sleep pattern is wild. I definitely wake up at between 3 and 4 for like 10 minutes every night consistently. Then I go back to sleep and then get back up like whatever, 6:37. But recently it's changed. Like I've started to sleep a little harder, if you will. And I started to remember dreams. And this is crazy.
It's real.
So the listeners don't know, but in January, you know, I was laid off. So for me, that was a transition period of like a little bit of stress, a lot of anxiety, but positive in a way because I've been looking for these signs, you know,
right,
for a long time. I've been saying it, I've been speaking it, but I haven't really talked about it. So there's like this shift where like I started sleeping differently after that. Because maybe something, you know?
Maybe
I was working myself a little hard.
You've gotten the weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, and so
you know what I'm saying?
I think that's also something I look to y'all is like, okay, as I start to look towards a balance between entrepreneurship and everything else, like, what is the shit that I need to do and look out for, right? And don't get me wrong, like, my resume is going to be out there. Like, I'm looking at all opportunities, right? But, like, for me, it's like, how is my life, you know, according to my map, according to my Google Calendar? What's my routine? What is my balance? Like, can I do that?
It's tough, man, because when you first start now, you want to give yourself, you know, enough runway. You know, like, and I think that's why earlier on for me, I was doing everything because I didn't know what tomorrow looked like. I still don't know what tomorrow looks like, but at least I have a little bit more of a runway.
You know what next month looks like?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm potentially getting ready to lose a client on Friday.
So it's like that.
You know? So it's like that. So like I'm now trying to figure out how do I set myself up so when one rolls off, another one rolls in. So it's constant networking. It's constant telling people what you do. It's constant like updating and branding. It's like it's never ending. It's almost like a house. You know what I'm saying? Like someone tells you like you're always like there's always something to do in your home. It's almost like that. Like your own company. There's always something to do. There's always something you could be doing.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know, somebody, I can't remember what it was. It's crazy that I'm referencing a tweet. But this was a tweet of a mother who recently had kids, but also she was in the workforce. Like she had gotten back off maternity leave and has been like working in at the VP, you know, like level. And she was like, yo, you always gonna be juggling balls, right? But you got to know which ones are the glass balls. Some are plastic and some are glass.
Bars.
I'm not going to drop the baby. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to drop the house. I'm not going to drop my wife. You know what I'm saying? So those are the balls that you can't drop. But like the other ones.
I just want to say, nigga. That is so fire. What?
Yeah. And it's just like you got to know which ones are the glass
balls. Which one is the glass?
Which ones you can drop.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
Yo, saying some of the joints might be plastic, but look glass while they flying. Like,
yeah.
Whew,
yeah. That's, bars. Yo, I'll tell you.
I got to find it. I'll reference the tweet.
That is a great tweet to reference.
So a client recently reached out and asked if I'd be open to working in office 5 days a week. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so I had to look at it and say, does it make sense? And I asked myself, not only does it make sense, but what is the value in me being in that office 5 days a week? Is it more of a security thing for you? Is it is there an opportunity for you for me to build something that makes sense for me to be whatever that is, and I didn't see it. You know what I'm saying? So I said I can't do 5 days.
What was that answer that they gave you?
They were like, well, let me talk to some additional people, and we'll see if you know, like maybe if we can do 2 to 3. And for me right now, I need the flexibility, you know, because it allows me to go get Chelsea from school.
Yeah, like
You know, like, that's important for me right now. And I think that's the joy that I get of being a consultant is the ability to be present. You know what I'm saying? Like, although I am working long hours, the ability to go get my daughter and be involved in her education is, like, way more valuable for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that I was able to, not to go off on a tangent, but the fact that I was able to go into the school and there's a like this program where they help the children with their homework. And when I get her homework, it's all wrong. And I still have to help her when she gets out of this program. The ability I was able to, at 5 o'clock, walk up to the school, approach the program and be like, yo, how come I'm still helping my daughter with her homework when she gets home when this program is exactly for that? If I'm at work at 5 and I don't get home till 6, when am I supposed to address these teachers? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's golden for me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's very real.
Yeah, because then once I go home and I've addressed that, I can then go back to work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's things like that that I think about. And I also told him, I said, look, when the summertime comes, I have that little bit more flexibility to be in the office 5 days. But for right now, I need the flexibility, you know?
Yeah, so. I hear that. I mean, the family part, same on my, but different fronts, going back, you know, seeing parents, seeing pop, seeing mom, you know, checking my nieces and nephews. Like, that's something that I didn't make as much time for because it was, how do I get this, you know, money in? How do I do this?
Yeah.
But now, with these extra hours, it's like, oh, you need something fixed at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday? I got you. I can stop for a second and go handle that. You know,
that's interesting because, like,
and I see that now, but like, it might change,
right? Because, like, to an extent, like, I wouldn't want to mess up my schedule to a certain extent, right? Like, of course, it's great to help out family and do all these different things when it's realistic. Yeah. But at some point when it's not realistic, you become the person that's, like, letting people down. Yeah. Like, not saying your specific situation, but in the, generally speaking.
Like, whose people?
Like, I'm just saying, if you get into the habit of having this, like, you know, ability to help out.
You're setting expectations.
You're setting expectations. So it's like.
And I respect that. And so that's why I'm asking y'all, too, is that, like, the routine part is something that, like, luckily, just getting laid off, it has helped me keep. I still get up at 6, you know what I'm saying? I still, like, move around. I'm still doing things. I eat, you know, around midday. I go do whatever. If something happens, I may have to run out. Cool. But, like, I'm at the gym, you know, in the evenings. And, like, I'm keeping that same
routine. As you should.
That's what I did. I'm sure Chad did the same thing. That does the same thing. Like,
yeah, like,
same routine.
Nothing shifted.
Yeah.
Nothing shifted.
At the end of the day, it's just order, right?
Yeah.
Like, having that order is just helpful.
I mean, that's the part that I look forward to, but I also want to get in the right habit beforehand because this is new to me.
You know, yeah.
I've done it in different ways before. I've contracted, but, like, similar to your 5 days a week, like, I had to be in that place, you know, 5 days a week. I wasn't free to do whatever. You know?
Yeah, I don't know how connected you are to a calendar, but, like,
I'm very connected to
and a to-do list, but, like, those are things that are so key, you know what I'm saying, in QuickBooks.
I can't live with, I've been looking at FreshBooks, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, there's a couple different options out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot.
But whatever it is, that level of organization is what will keep your sanity, for the most part, of being a, you know, a business owner.
Yeah, talk to me about those gems. That's the part for me, like, I'm not the most organized person. I definitely have a
You become the most organized person. Because I'm the least organized person. But, like, because there's so many deadlines and so many people, you know, so many contingencies. Like, if it's not in order, like, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I can't even start. Like, I can't even.
The calendar part for me, I picked that up maybe, I'd say, 5 to 7 years ago because I started to forget about shit.
Yeah.
Like, when my calendar started getting full, and it was more about a social thing where I had commitments. Like, if I say I'm a
dude, we know.
Right? Oh, we.
But, like, those are things that I was just like, okay, I need to put this on the calendar, whether it's a turn up or whether it's something else. Like, somebody's birthday, whatever it is, like, you can't forget.
Right.
But, like, this stuck with me.
Yeah.
So now it's down to, when you making breakfast, fam, like, Is that coming from 6 to 6:30 or 6:30 to 7? Like, I'm not on that military schedule, but like I definitely have windows.
It's definitely guidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, that to-do list, man, is going to help also just in terms of like feeling accomplished.
I was gonna say mentally, it's the piece that I need my to-do list. To-doist is what I use.
Yeah,
to keep everything in order.
So what y'all, fuck this boring shit. What do y'all do to like stay happy? Right, like there's a space where you're in your zone, and you laugh, right? Just laugh. Stop laughing. There's got to be a way. But for me, there's photography is obviously one of those things where it is cool. Lately, I haven't been.
That's such a good question. I think, like, since I'm taking a second to like not just react.
And that's why I'm kind of like just talking through it, because being alone for me is like the new happy for me. It's just like being able to recharge and just throw something up on the TV or open up a magazine and just forget about whatever is going on. Like recently, it's been that. Before, it's been social, being outside, you know, touching something, seeing something. You know what I'm saying? Like now, it doesn't do it for me anymore.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
Damn. Even to the point where I can, like, dare I say dating has been a problem, because I don't want to spend my free time all the time with another person.
Right.
I want to be alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's no fault to them. Great people. But, like, nigga, I just need to recharge. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of that free time has been dedicated to that, which I'm also been comfortable saying, like, that's what I want, you know?
Mm-hmm. But I think it's actually a great thing that you're going through this period single.
Oh, yeah. Word. Like, what?
But you know, it's also taught me that like I've
God is good.
Yeah. But I'm open to finding that person who understands it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
it's always understanding, but it's there's emotions, and emotions aren't always understanding.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't even deal with it, because I know mentally like it's just too much. It's too much on my brain right now. Like, no, it's too much.
I mean, but back to your question, when's make me happy? Mm. You know, like.
Because that's the way I was going to go at first. I was going to just simply say, like, you know, fulfill them voices. But like, but that's not enough.
I'm
like,
it's not about that. Yeah. No. Outside of the
world. No, I think what makes me happy is there are a couple different things. Freedom, flexibility. Mm-hmm. And the ability to create.
Okay.
And that means so many different things.
I think only one of those really matter for me. And it's the ability to create. The other two, like, I think in my experience, I've had less freedom when I'm more responsible for like my client outcomes.
I think what comes with the ability to create is freedom.
Agreed. We're talking about the freedom we're talking about, and if you're not talking about that, then help me understand it. But the freedom we're talking about is like wake up, go to sleep, be here, be there, meetings when I want them, as opposed to the stringent piece that comes with like being in like a formal office, right? If we're talking about that freedom, like I feel like I always had less of that freedom when I was like not in a corporate environment.
When I think of freedom, I think of freedom in the sense that you're just not part of a political system within a corporate function.
But if you have less time, are you more free?
Yes, because it's my time.
At what point? What I guess. Okay.
It is. You know, like, although we don't punch in and punch out, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's my time. You know, like, I'm viewed as a resource, not
a cog in the wheel.
Yeah, a cog in the wheel.
So, all right. So that's exactly how I'm thinking. So, does that is it only perspective truly?
Possibly. Because if the bill, so.
Possibly,
I think so. So,
so then, what stops you from changing? So, what stops you from changing your perspective? Period. Like in any, you know, why don't you just say you're free when you're getting paid a different way? Like it just comes down to like the way you're paid, right?
No, I think if you work this is going to sound wild, but I think when you work a 9 to 5, there's no, like, there's less freedom. I'm not gonna say there's no freedom. I think I mean, there's less.
But so change your perspective, right? Yeah, like yeah, if you're just changing it,
sides. I would say that like someone may be in a 9-to-5, but maybe a consultant that works for Accenture that is on the bench that works from home. You know what I'm saying? Like they ain't got nothing but time, but is that time theirs?
There's less freedom in that.
I mean,
but much more time, right? Yeah, like you would argue that this person is still going to the gym. Has, you know, is making breakfast when they want to make breakfast. Like, this person has...
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's subjective. Like,
definitely. Yeah, it is subjective.
And that's the thing. Like, shout out to the people who are in those positions. Like,
right, we know
don't
want
to, you know, like, respect. Yeah. Don't, you know, like, not yeah. saying that you're yeah. not as free. You know?
No, because don't get twisted. Like, I don't... And
they might, I say they might be finessing.
I say this all the time. Yo, like, God forbid, but I... You know, if I got to go back to a 9-to-5, I will. You know what yeah. I'm saying? Like, I will not let my ego get in the way of any of this shit. Yeah, you know,
baby,
so like,
milk, fam.
Yeah, this is I say it all the time. This is a blessing for me to be able to even do it for the 8 months that I've been doing it. Mm-hmm. So like, no disrespect. Like,
yeah.
if I got to go back and put them chains on and get on the slave ship,
I mean, some people. So here's the thing, like,
but what I was gonna say is to not go away from the freedom piece is like. Just, I've developed this frame of mind that it's the same thing, truly. Like, yeah. it's the same hustle. Like, the bill's being paid by the same entities. Like, it's not much.
Yeah,
it's all about your perspective and how you actually, like, frame it. Because
I think so. And, like, the dependency is where I think the freedom comes from. Like, if I have to depend on that solely.
Right.
Not free.
It's not yeah. free, right.
But
right.
if I have the choice to jump in and jump out. And
I think the freedom comes into play where, you know, the company that you were just at, right, mm-hmm. you were putting in 40 plus hours.
Yeah.
Which did not allow you to go to another company and put in 40 plus hours.
No.
Right. Contractually, even.
Contractually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as a consultant, you have the ability to take on four clients.
I could work an 80 week.
Right.
That is the freedom.
Week if I wanted to.
Yeah, that is the freedom is saying, you know, like you are paying for
bars, nigga. I mean, I get, yeah.
You're right. paying for a service that I'm providing, whether yeah. I, you know, like, I'm not saying this is the case for everything, but if I'm paying you to advise me on something that comes at a cost, no matter if you did it for 2 hours or you did it for 15.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, and that will enable you to take on more than just one client. Yeah. So to go back to your original question around, like, how do you map out, you know, like, shit for you to pay bills? That's how you map it out. It's like, look, based on my skill set and my experience, this is my cost. This is how much it will take. I don't care if you say, well, Brian, you know, you only worked on this for an hour and a half. So fucking what?
Institutional knowledge, my nigga.
My cost.
Spent years on this.
Yeah. Or, yeah, this is IP. This is yeah. the cost for it.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't do that from your last full time. That's what I mean
right.
by, like,
right.
freedom.
That is a distinct difference. And you, just to give you a shout out, you've been really good at, like, assigning a cost with your time for probably, like, 20 years now.
Yeah, so that's we're going to talk offline about that. Like,
yo.
You've been very, very, you know, disciplined in terms of, like...
From, like, day one, though. Like, like, no, this is my time. This is my skill set. And you must pay for this. Like, Chad is, like,
yeah.
you're
yeah.
one of the better at that.
I'm big on... Because when you... There's no worse feeling than the feeling of being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And... You start to look at trends and people. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I knew when I was a designer, anytime I had a hip-hop client, I knew that I was going to be putting in a lot more time for the bullshit.
Yeah.
So, like, I started to charge more.
Yeah.
Because I knew that it would come with, you know, one, potentially not getting all of my invoice paid. I knew it potentially came with...
Let's just say entertainment. Let's just like...
Entertainment. Yeah, yeah. Not just hip-hop. Because it is true. It was entertainment. But I knew it would come with, you know, like it not being authentic content that I would be creating. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And me fighting this person or people to say, look, this isn't an original idea. And I'm not comfortable with it. And they're like, nah, give me something that looks like the Rockefeller logo. Mm. It's like, no,
yeah.
that's not me. And so you end up creating things that just don't end up being in your portfolio.
That's really important.
And that's a cost for me.
It is.
You know like when I can't put something in my portfolio, that's a cost because I'm not able to show that I'm putting in work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So when I go to my next client, I still have to continue to prove that I have the ability to be conceptual, that I have the ability to design, I have the ability to stay current with trends. And so, like, you're costing me my next client.
100%.
You're not listening to what I'm advising you on.
All right. So,
like,
and from a client, the client is like, so?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a question on income, doing the things that won't necessarily help your portfolio, but as a means to survive, you got to do it anyway. Like,
yeah,
that's a privilege that you have to say, nah, fam, we're not doing Rockefeller, fake Rockefeller logos right now.
It's a privilege, but don't forget the part, like, that's a sacrifice because you have to make that sacrifice. Yeah. Like, it's two sides to that coin.
Yeah, I struggle with that now because, like, I'll tell you to this day, I'm not going to be a horror photographer, right?
Right.
Like, yeah. I'm not doing weddings. I'm not doing everything under this. I'm not doing it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm putting it down here on record because I also believe in my value and, like, the skill set that I have in the area that I want to get into and continue to flourish in. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I also, and in this early week, you know, have thought about, like, okay, what if I have to do the things that I don't want to do, aka a wedding or something like that pops up and I need the bread. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, like, if push comes to shove, I got to eat. Right. Yeah. But, like, how do I, in these early stages, set myself up to feed off of the areas that I really want to feed off of?
Mm-hmm. There's a cost associated with you doing those weddings.
To your brand, period. To like, your overall entity.
You know what I'm saying? Like, keep in mind, we just talking about, like, people wanting Rockefeller logos. I still did the work. There's a cost associated with it, though.
Yeah.
You know? But it's also, like, not pigeonholing yourself into becoming the wedding photographer.
Yeah.
But still, you got to eat. So there's a cost associated with the time spent leading up to the wedding. You know, like, there's a consulting fee, you know, like, there's the time at the wedding, there's an editing fee. So it's like combining all of those things and saying, look, this is the cost and here's what you get, and showing the value in that.
Yeah. For me, my answer to that question is totally different. Like, well, I agree with you 100%. But for me, whenever I had something I just didn't really want to do and I felt like it was almost beneath me, I just figured out a creative way to execute it where I didn't have to spend my time. Yeah. So this way I'm like, you know, and I don't know what that is in your world at all, right? Like, maybe it's like training some kids in the neighborhood to be photographers, and this is like their way of being taught, or, you know, just creative ways to get it done where you don't necessarily have to, like, upcharge client. They're happy and you're providing a service and you're not wasting your time.
So it's funny that you say that, because I've not put out the whole, I guess, idea of doing a wedding, right? I'm going to do it in my way.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you're going to do all this in your way anyway.
I'm going to do it no matter what, you know? But, like, subscribing to the traditional idea of what a wedding, you know, photographer is, like, I question that, you know, that pattern. Right. And I almost don't want to even promote that kind of stuff because I don't want to do it. You know, like, I really don't, but, like, I'm on the fence.
What I'm saying is, maybe it's not you doing it, right? Like, maybe it's not like your company that executes it, or maybe it's another company of yours that executes it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, in no way should your artistry be impacted by doing something that's, you know, outside of the set of things you do.
Nah, because I can run point. Shout out to Kimber. Like,
Yo, I mean, it's the wedding industry is huge. Yeah, so it's so like,
I'm going to eat. But we got to talk about that. And that's what I need. Like, also, it being in my thoughts, right? Having you two sit down and, like, talk about that. You
know,
I probably would have come to a different conclusion, right? I probably would have still did the wedding, you know? Tried to fulfill every request of everything that, you know, that person would want. Cause, like,
yeah, and that's the loss.
Yeah, and that's a time loss, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For me. But, like, just hearing that perspective of, like, you don't actually have to do it. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
You could,
for real.
Or if you do it, find someone that's going to give you the freedom to do a couple of the shots your way.
Yeah.
The way you envision pushing the boundaries of what wedding photos should look like.
So I'm open to all of that. And, you know, I got to respond to an email, you know what I'm saying? But, like, those are things that, for me, it's becoming more important to get that perspective from people. You know?
Man, because I know I paid my photographer, and like I ain't gonna hold you, I probably would take that gig like if I had the skills to do it. But she's also like legit.
She's established.
She charges a bag because she's established the fact that like she can charge a bag.
Her stuff is and fine. She had a squad with her too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So like I'm sure there's some budgets that don't align with her that she can allow one of her her teammates to take the lead on, but still be point.
That's a fact, because I remember very distinctly her saying like I do the things that I want to do, and like I'm not really willing to sacrifice that. But you're so happy with the work that you seem portfolio wise and all the buzz in the street that you just like yes, as opposed to like some people it's gonna be all up in your face tomorrow. No, I need my shots to look like this, and I want this one there, and you're like nah, that's not what you signed up for.
And another part of that world is that there's like a high chance for just negative energy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
why you say that?
Yeah, this is not on my part, right? Just the wedding industry is. and I've talked to a couple of wedding photographers who've been in the game and gotten out. And I'm not going to say this. I'm going to use the buzzword bridezilla, right?
Oh
That's where it started, right? But
that kind of negative energy.
A lot of pressure to deliver. You know. Not only the shots, but like after
right? It can't be real, right? Like, how can there be and I know I'm sure there is pressure, but like, how can you give me pressure when I'm the professional here?
The pressure comes from within, right? Because you want to
Okay, gotcha.
I would never take a job and get behind a camera and just give you shots to give you shots. You know
right.
Because that's my brand. That's my craft. That's my word. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's how you speak about me if anything goes wrong. So like for me and other photographers, that's the pressure, right?
That's tough.
And when you have that pressure and people aren't aligning with that energy in terms of not maybe understanding your craft or understanding what the expectations are, like that's the pressure, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that doesn't change no matter what industry you're in. You know what I'm saying? Whether you're full-time or you're on your own, there's always going to be someone that's going to try the fuck shit.
Yeah.
That's you a fact. Know what I'm saying? That's
talk to me about that.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
How do you handle the fuck shit?
You don't. It just happens and you just understand that it happens.
I don't know. Like, I feel like you don't. Like, you are very good at, diverting. You know, a little Euro step.
Yeah.
And Chad is going to be like, no, I'm about to take this block, fam. Like, we're going to talk about this. Like,
I mean, the funny thing is, it's the same approach. Yeah. I think Chad is just a little bit more like abrasive with like the way he delivers his facts. It's like, I will deliver you the facts, but in a very like
diplomatic,
comfortable way for you to digest it in a way that I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Well, Chad will give you the same facts in a way that you just got to hear it, but you already decided that you didn't want to hear it, so you don't hear it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you listen back and Chad be right like the same way.
I guess, I've always taken this approach, like this fear approach, you know, like I'm gonna give you the facts and fear, you know, because like you need to understand when I'm sharing this information, there's a potential reaction that if you're not listening to my advice that could come your way, and I'm trying to avoid you of it. You know, it's like, it's like telling someone like, yo, don't jump off that bridge, because if you jump off that bridge, you're going to land really hard and you're going to die.
See, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in someone being smart enough to receive anything in that way. I think they really got to hear it so they fully understand the consequences, not just you telling them that there are consequences.
Yeah, talent is more like, look, if you walk across the bridge and you stand on top and you lean forward, it's not going to end well for you.
That's my style.
Split your skull open.
Right. Like, that's his approach.
Yeah.
He like gives you stuff. I'm like, look, just please don't jump off the bridge, because if you do, you're going to die, and we all need you
I'm
here.
I'm going to tell you how
you're
going to
die. Right. A lot of folks is like, you don't know what he's talking about, and they just take the leap. And I'm like,
all right.
But now that leap impacted me, because like you had a wallet in your pocket when you jumped, and I needed to collect on that project.
I mean, it's just, I can't wait to hear more.
You're
going
to run into difficult clients no matter what industry you're in. It's no different than, there's no way you walk into your a full-time job and there's not someone that's just going to be difficult either during the day, during the week, during the project. There's always someone that's going to be fucking complicated. And you're like, why? Just take your ass home.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it is what it is.
I want to go back to this question when we talked about happy, right?
Yeah, I like that question a lot.
Y'all gave me like very meta, philosophical answers, but like, I want to know the to nitty gritty shit. And I want to say nitty gritty, but like the basic shit. Like, nigga, do you just watch YouTube? Like, do you watch basketball? Do you go for a run? Like, I want to know those smaller things that you've figured out about yourself that makes you happy. And like, I'm digging because I'm in that space now where I know what makes going to a movie alone, something that I want to see, like that makes me happy. Happier.
You know what? Honestly, I think I'm redefining what happy means for me right now.
And that's maybe why y'all didn't answer that type of question. Cause like, I want, is it spending time with your daughter? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, everybody could say that, right? But like,
yeah,
Chad Bennett, is it doing crossovers, you know, at the gym? You know, Thomas, is it researching stuff on, I don't know, whatever?
Yeah.
I think it's creating, honestly. Like, I'm still, I think I am still redefining, but in this moment, I think creating is exciting for me. You know, like,
this is graphic design. Are you building sites? Are you?
Yeah, I think
I don't think I think that like that is the wrong part of it, right? I think that deciding what it is isn't even the part that matters. It's like that moment of, all right, I'm doing something that I'm enjoying, and
that's what I want.
The product that I produce is like I did it. Right. Is the happiness, like, regardless of what that is.
For me, like, I'm getting down to the I guess the granular level of like,
what
just
is
like
it?
You do a bill, right? And you know exactly how much tax you're getting on that bill. For me, like, I need to fine tune and understand more about what, you know, what it is that makes me tick. And like, those are the things that, like, now I have a little bit more free time. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I actually do like going to the gym. This is, you know, like, these are the things that I need to keep in my life so that I can turn up the happiness dial when I know, you know, like,
yeah.
Because sometimes for me, I get in my head where I don't, like, I'm stuck, you know?
I think my business is somewhat of
it's a, your art.
Yeah.
A happy place for me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, pitching a client, building out a proposal, building out the website, iterating on the website.
Some money. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's
it's creating.
It's creating, you know, like, you know, doing the shirts. You know, like, for the website, you know, building out the brand is, like, exciting for me right now.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, and it's one of those things where it's, like, it's lightweight an obsession, right? And it's a healthy obsession.
Yeah, you know.
But also, is it, though?
Is
it, though? Like, I question that.
I think it is. And the way I say it, see it now is just, like, for me, like, sitting home on a Friday night editing photos, I'm obsessed.
It, you know what it is, for me at least, and it might be for the both of y'all, is the reaction that you get from people. You know, like, for me, like, to get reactions on things that I've created, it gives me a feeling that I'm doing something right. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't know before.
It's like confirmation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that makes me happy. Like, you know, the shirts that I just did, you know, like, the reaction that I got from people was like, yo, I need that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, I'm doing something right. And I'm not even done. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't even told the story of this shirt and why I'm doing it. And
that's so interesting because, like, I'm completely different. Completely different.
Her?
Yeah. Because, like, and I may have gotten it from you, actually, Chad. Like, certain little wins like that, and I'm not really calling it a win, calling it a little, it's like my expectation for you and it's my expectation for myself. So like, I'm not happy with those things anymore. Like, I need to figure out, like, I can do all of this stuff that people probably think is amazing, but it's not amazing enough for me. Gotcha. Like, gotcha. We know we can do this. Like, you could build shirts tomorrow, like, and be beautiful every single time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't want to downplay it at all by saying small, but like, I know that you have the ability to do that. Snap a finger. And
I think you hit the point where, like, the underlying theme for me is, like, are you, I mean, there's happiness, right?
Yeah.
There's balance.
Yeah.
And then there's also us being in New York, New Jersey.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Being in the hustler's capital of, you know?
Right.
Right.
The United States.
And, right.
Like, seeing this level of excellence in every industry that you're in, you know?
Yeah.
Where, like, the status quo of building, you know, a cool brand and a t-shirt or a sweatshirt is, like, normal, it, you know,
right,
it should
be, right,
right,
yeah.
But truly, it's art, and it's like beautiful that you could do it. But like, on the other side of that, it's like, yo, like, when do we get to this like worldwide part? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's a tough balance, and I think that the happiness comes where Chad is, where he can celebrate that win, and like me being disgusted half the time comes from like, yo, like, how do we do this on a world class level? And like, you know what I mean?
Right. yeah, there's phases to this shit, man. Yeah. You know, so like, and then also working in parallel are the other projects that I'm starting to, you know, to build out.
Oh, like sneakers and coffee.
Yeah, the coffee shop is, you know, right. like those yeah. are things that feel very close, yeah. like to happening. Yeah. And I don't know if working full time would have enabled me to even get to the point and of that's like the
gem right there. Right?
I wonder if it even allows you the mental like space to really dream to a certain yeah. extent, right? Like, yeah. is it? Because time is just one part of it, but like really just like mental real estate is a totally different piece.
And it's I think harder for me now, and I think everyone in this world of technology, it's just like that mental space with yeah. you being connected to your job now all the time. Like
yeah.
you truly can't, like it's not like you can leave your laptop and disconnect.
Right.
I still got my phone. I still have Slack. I can still do everything that I need to do, you know, on my phone at home. Yo, when I leave
in,
the office.
I walked into my client's office and I got there around like 8:30, which is early, and there was a laptop at someone's desk. And I said, "Oh shit, you left your laptop here?"
I did that at I've done that before, but like yeah. also anything that I really need to do is
so yeah,
phone wise, like
yeah. Yeah, okay. But that's just wild. I've never left my laptop at a job you ever. Try. Well, I don't have to anymore.
Bars.
Well, I mean, you know, but like when I was full time, I just couldn't fathom leaving my laptop at work.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in other jobs too where, like, I would never even turn off my laptop. I would close it. It was
yeah, dock it again.
I would dock it when I got home. I would go to sleep, and like it would be weeks before I restarted or turned off yeah. or shut down. Oh,
all the time.
Funny thing is, my laptop is like that. Like, it doesn't, we don't turn this thing off.
Nah,
like, it's
shut
just,
that down. Paul. Yo,
yeah, I just did it just now. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, that don't turn off.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
mine it's open right where you left it.
You know what's so funny? And I have to get out of this habit too. I did it last night. Is I bring my laptop when I go hang out at friends' houses.
I used to do that.
Yeah. I mean, y'all both have laptops here, obviously, for a reason. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. It's that thought process is where I don't know if I'll be able to disconnect, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I ask the happiness part at a granular level, at a basic level, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm asking how you disconnect, you know?
I think it's an addiction. I really do.
I think it is, too. And that's the part where I, like, I need to, like, it might be the outdoors, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for me, the gym.
I need to disconnect, you know, like.
I think you're doing it, though. I think you already, like, committed to travel this year. I know that's been, sure. I know that's yeah. been my, like, way yeah. of disconnecting. And it paid off majorly to me.
But even on a smaller scale than just traveling, you know what I'm saying? Like I was telling y'all the other day, like, I'm having, like, eye fatigue, which yeah. only happens when you've been staring at a screen or mm-hmm. something really bright for so long.
You get back on these bikes. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, like getting outside and just, disconnecting and not giving a fuck about a screen for a couple hours a day, I think, is important.
It just feels like, that just feels so unrealistic.
It
like,
does. It does. But you have to. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Like, and that's part of the reason why you were dehydrated.
Yeah.
You did not unplug.
At all.
I put myself a note in right now to, like, just disconnect outside, right? And, like, when I say outside, I mean seeing green, like, in this little concrete
that's jungle real.
That we're in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I know you out there in, you know, Orange, where there's a little bit more greenery, but, like, for real, going out to a place where, like, you don't hear cars or you know, like, the middle of a park, like, those are things that, like, I think yeah. New Yorkers are missing.
I think about doing those things pretty often, like, and it's funny because, and I hope I don't offend anyone because you have to do it once an episode, but I wonder, like, when we go on, like, vacations, we always tend to, like, go on these, like, really tropical places, and they're always, like, you know, just, I don't even know, just Caribbean for the most part, like, right? Like, that's just the easy, like, getaway, right? Sometimes I wonder why we don't take, like, these really, like, nasty trips, like, and like in the
we
like,
just call them nasty,
like, but like I mean, like in like in a rainforest, like places that are just like completely like it's not just
paradise.
Not a paradise kind of like thing. Like, maybe we need that, like, truly, like, functionally, there's more oxygen in these places. Yeah. Like, it's just yeah. a better place to be. Yeah. And we don't even take it because I think we're so like mind fucked. We don't even think to like get into like the real world where all of this like nutrition really is, and we just want to go to a place where we can just like drink a lot and like be with a lot of sun and like just beat up on our bodies, like
yeah One of my old coworkers, shout out to Caroline, she pretty much just either goes camping, you know,
in the middle
of nowhere, or like I think that just disconnecting in that way where you really don't have electricity or you don't have, you know, those things, like that balance. A lot of people have found that balance, you know,
you know what?
Stuff like that.
I think it's just New York City, man.
I think so,
I don't think New York City's real, bro.
What you mean?
Nah, it's not real. But God.
It's not real.
Y'all here finding glitches in the Matrix, fam?
It's not. No. It's not real. Like, I've been saying this for. It's not real.
It's not real, man. You know, like, we went to.
When you say that,
we sell money in media, yo.
Let me.
We went to Virginia last year, right? We went to go visit some family out in Virginia. I was talking to this dude, and he's like, y'all gonna work at 5.
Right.
And, like,
off though, like off. Like at 4:50, I'm like, oh, I'm about to go home. Like, what?
Yeah, like that's not a real thing for 90% of New York City is to like be off at 5, and that's that.
The interesting part is, I wonder about that number, right? Like, because there are jobs that are in New York City that do work in that way, right? Like, if you work at like Con Ed. On Union Square, like, or if you're a teacher or a nerd, you know what I mean? Yeah, like,
of course, but like for the common, like another state, California,
they actually leave their office, which is befuddled because we end up doing the same thing just on different parts of the country. But you have this totally different work life balance than I do.
The expectation is different for the LA, Cali, or LA, because that's where I'm used to, or San Francisco workers. It's very different for them as opposed to New York City.
So what's stopping you?
And it's more expensive, and it's like, it's just, everything is like supposed to be way harder, and they just be like,
it's not.
Yo.
They just be like, yeah, it's Friday, and it's sunny. And I'll be like,
we out.
The beach is here. We hear it crashing outside.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Silicon Valley aside, like,
yeah.
But a lot of the culture of that lifestyle, like, think about how many offices now don't even have a dress code, let you wear whatever, have an open floor plan, or doing things that like take from that lifestyle. But I also feel like, what's stopping you from doing it mentally? Like, for me, why that you're in New York, do you have to take on the stigma of working like and being like, you know, a New Yorker? Like, there's external forces out there that are making New York the way it is, but like, or are you in this mindset where you have to be that way?
I just had a EA email me yesterday, an executive assistant email me on a Saturday about something that I asked about on Thursday of last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that happens in other cities and states.
And you still got your answer, right?
Yeah, but like, I don't want to hear from you on Saturday.
You didn't have to.
Even if I saw the notification, I heard from you, and I didn't want to. I want to hear from you on Monday. I want you to take your break.
No, he's not wild. You are talking my language.
Hold on. I want to hear from you on Saturday, but do you have to respond until Monday?
It don't even matter, Brian. You don't get it. You don't get it. How, Sway? You don't get it.
Talk to me.
And listen, for everyone that I don't answer your text messages, this is exactly why. I don't even want the notification, fam. I don't even want to know. Because my mind was, I was relaxing. I was watching NBA League Pass. I was chilling. Ja Morant was looking good. And then all of a sudden, you decided that what was important to you needed to be important to me.
Yeah.
And it is the most frustrating thing.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't just be respectful and wait till Monday at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Because you knew I wasn't even going to respond. So now you've taken a part of my freedom right then and there. Like, I was just in another world.
I see it differently. They're not going to take my freedom.
That means because you're handling it well. We're not handling it right.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Because realistically, I'm not going to respond till Monday anyway, realistically. Yeah. But like, in the moment, damn, now I'm thinking about things again. I don't want to think about it right now.
I look at it, leave you on red, and put it back down and go do whatever.
I'm just because you're a little cooler than us, but like me, I don't want to see it, yo. I will delete it and I'll put it in my notes so that it's just not in my phone.
It don't matter. I think that's also something that I've maybe my role in.
Oh man, I got hot, yo.
Yeah, I saw it. Thomas took off his sweatshirt, damn near.
Yo,
I don't care. Like if it's not meant to be until Monday morning, like I'm not gonna touch it until Monday morning.
It's not meant to be, regardless of what it is. It's a Saturday, you know, like. Mm-hmm.
And they're feeling so good because she got that off her to-do list.
Yeah.
And she's feeling great. And she's probably going to go to brunch and, like, have a good day now. And me, I'm like, damn, I wonder if she needs this right now. Huh. I wonder what's going to be the reaction if I respond to it this way. And all of this stuff just becomes a part of your world. Like,
Yeah. And, you know, like, just imagine if there's, like, five of hers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just whack. Just wait till fucking Monday. Set a timer where the email is sent at Monday at 8:30 a.m.
But to Brian's point, though, like, it shouldn't bother us whatsoever. It just does.
But it does, because I want you to respect your weekend the same way.
I don't care about how you feel about your weekend.
I gave that away. Like,
you know, people, like.
So one thing I have learned is that, like, the respect I give is not always going to be returned. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Of course not. You know, like, but.
I can't even hold you, fam. Like, we build different. So I'm not going to fault you. I just know that I'm going to respond on Monday. I'm going to ignore your shit.
Yeah, she's going to definitely get this response on Monday, but it's the whole the whole point. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Can I give you another pet peeve, yo?
Yeah, talk to me.
Big pet peeve is the text message that follows the email. Like, they don't come to the same device.
Right. Some people don't check.
Hey, I just sent you an email. Well, maybe I took Outlook off my phone for the weekend because I didn't want to receive it this weekend. Yo, don't text me like
after the fact.
Don't text me that you sent me an email.
She definitely gave you the double question mark, yo. Like, yo, you see my email?
Yo, that is the most frustrating. Yeah. I just want to make sure you got it. What do you mean? Since when was the last time that someone didn't send an email and it was like because something technical happened?
Right.
And you're sending Gmail to Gmail, like.
Yeah. Yeah, this Gmail doesn't have the issue with something sitting in the outbox. That's that Microsoft bullshit. But
sorry.
Yo, you know a pet peeve of mine?
What?
People wearing Allbirds.
What?
Yo. Yo, talk about it, fam. Talk about it. I want 1,000%
with trash. Yo.
I judge you if you wear Allbirds.
Yo. Nah, yo.
I clown on one of my old coworkers. Shout out to Ellie.
Yo, get them all birds.
Get them out of here.
The fuck out of here.
Yo.
Get them out of here.
That's not right, yo.
It is right.
It is
get them out of here.
Why is it right?
Because they're ugly.
It's their culture.
Their culture.
It goes with the Patagonia, doesn't it?
Yo,
I like Patagonia. Come on,
but
son.
Those two pieces go together. Pieces?
I got a pet.
They don't. They don't. Tell me they don't go together.
They don't.
And that what's that book bag everybody wears? The Bracken book bag.
The Bracken.
the blood book bag.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
Oh, man.
You know, and it's funny that we've moved into a world where we can say everybody, and everybody ain't nowhere near me.
Nope. It's definitely
just,
not.
Yo, I hate that Bracken book bag.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
I can't lie. I got to a point one day where I was like, yo, what is this? And am I missing out? Like, did I not know about this?
No, you definitely not. Toms, shout out to Toms.
Ugly Toms is dying, but the Allbirds, especially if you got that the gray fleece
look, the gray sweatpants version.
Yo, shout out to all my vegans and they Toms, yo. What's up, baby?
Word, nah, not doing that.
Nah,
I got a pet peeve. I got one pet peeve. Oh. I just need to get this off my chest.
Get it out, B.
Don't ever text me, yo.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
And not follow up.
Yo, I hate that. Yo.
Never text me, hey, and not follow up with, I need this, or how you doing, or whatever it is that you text me for. Yeah. I will leave you on red forever if you just text me.
Hey, yo, serious question, right? Serious, serious question. What are you supposed to respond?
Yo, it's like, I'm by my phone. Yo, yeah, you get it. Like, I don't understand.
But what if it wasn't?
Yeah, like, follow up. Like, follow up.
Give me something to
No, I want a real answer. Like, what is the response to the yo text?
Listeners, I don't know.
No. Yo, can I ask you
another? No. I need an answer.
Yo, I don't know, fam. I don't know.
Okay, so when the last person, somebody said yo in your phone, what did you reply?
I didn't. I still am red, yo.
I just say yo.
Yo, that's what I do. I'm like, yo. So I'm just as bad as this person that did it.
I don't respond. I just
say yo.
Yo, Halim, I know you mad that like you might hear this, and you the only yoer in my phone, bro. You the only yoer. You like yo, like yes,
yo, hello.
It started to get to like the what's good with a question mark, like cause I don't want to yo back.
Yeah, that's
even fucking question for people who say morning instead of good morning at work. Does that bother you?
Doesn't.
Nah, because no. Like you might be having a bad morning. Why?
Like, are you saying morning because I'm not allowed to have a good morning? Nah.
I think you don't fuck with me. Nah, I think it's being polite. People just like don't like messing with a question.
Why? It's like with an apostrophe before the M.
Like why not? When it's just like morning. Why can't I get the good morning? Am I being overly sensitive?
You are at that point. Yeah. Especially to only be like there 2 days out of the week. You definitely bad sensitive. Yeah, you mad.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the morning because it's like you can't assume I'm having a good morning or you wish me.
Just say good morning. I say good morning.
That's why, just polite. Like you just.
Next time somebody say morning, she just gonna hurt you. Heard you.
Yo,
heard you. All
right,
so we know. Don't text us any of us. Make sure you add a good morning. Yeah.
Heard you.
Get you the morning you deserve. Yeah. Good morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Oh man, yo, we gotta wrap.
Yeah, let's wrap this up, man. It was a good talking to y'all.
Yeah, man. This is hopefully February is much better. I know y'all got Valentine's Day plans.
Shout out Black History Month.
You know Black History Month. Go watch that Malcolm X documentary.
Before we go.
Shout out All-Star Weekend.
Can we talk about? I just want to know about this Google commercial.
Oh, we have to talk about that.
Next week, we'll talk about it. But, like, okay. I want to understand.
I haven't seen it, so I got
to
see it.
In honor of Black History Month, I think it'll be a good topic to talk through.
Okay.
But like, listeners, make sure you watch this Google commercial, and we'll talk about that. You know?
This should be good, because Brian and I have an opposite feeling about this.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. Well, let's do it. Yeah. Abstract Square Podcast. It's your boy, Chad.
It's B.
Oh, yeah. What up?
We're doing that again.
Oh, yeah. We're doing that again.
Okay.
All right. We out. Holla.